Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 196 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And I'm just going to open up by saying that misdirection worked. The protests in the NFL, remember, this was initially about police killing black people and never being prosecuted for it. And Colin Kaepernick wanted to bring attention to that issue and to the broader issue of racism and the treatment of black people and minorities in America. So the orange one, Donald Trump, gets involved and says that it's, you know, disrespectful to the flag. And what about the veterans and the troops and the blah, 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 blah. And the argument completely changed. It started out last week. There were far more protests, many more players taking a knee, teams not coming out for the singing of the national anthem. The whole thing about the anthem only being sung after they paid the NFL millions of dollars to do it back in 2009, et cetera, et cetera. But the conversation has been about the flag and about the disrespect and the blah, 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 not about racism. Misdirection has won. The whole reason for the protest is completely lost. And part of it's lost is simply in the question of, do they have the right to protest? You know who they are. This was all dog whistle shit by Donald Trump, and it absolutely worked. He blew the racist dog whistle. He said, look at these rich black boys having the nerve to protest. Who do they think they are? And believe me, I'm using the term boys because I'm not. Look at these rich niggas acting up. That's what the dog whistle said. Look at these rich niggas acting up. And then it became a whole thing about, do they have the right to protest? How are they allowed to protest? Which is amazing that the oppressors are going to tell the oppressed how to protest. And don't say that these football players are not oppressed because they're millionaires, et cetera, et cetera. Look, I know they are. And I know about spoiled athletes and entertainers, et cetera, et cetera. But these football players are young black men and can at any moment be profiled for, especially for, because they're going to be driving a flashy car and they're going to be living in a rich neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera. And they're football players. Not like basketball players, not like baseball players. You don't recognize them. They have helmets on. You don't know what the free safety looks like. You don't know what the defensive back looks like. You might know what the quarterbacks and the wide receivers look like and a couple of running backs. That's about it. So there's multimillionaires on the field you don't recognize. And more importantly, the cop that pulls them over wondering why they're driving a Ferrari or a Bentley or something like that might not know who they are, and it can end badly. And we know that's true. But anyway, getting back to this misdirection thing, it worked, okay? Now, let's stop pretending, okay? Can we stop pretending this is about the flag or respect for the flag? Okay, go to a game. Go to a game and look around during the national anthem. And I would just read an article about this because they did this at the Rams game during the national anthem. And there's people, people in line to buy beer didn't stop buying beer. People looking for their seats didn't stop looking for their seats. They talked about some woman who was drinking some blue Slurpees thing, and she kept on drinking it till her lips turned blue. And of course, the ultimate, men in the men's room doing what they do. Yeah, taking a piss during the national anthem is probably not showing the ultimate respect for the flag. Huh? What do you think? What about the flag itself? What about respect the flag and the rules of the flag? Well, let's look at some of the rules of the flag, okay? Because there's, in the United States Code, Title 4, Chapter 1, you know I'm reading this, I don't have it memorized, but they have a code about how to respect the flag. Military personnel should stand at attention and salute, okay? Others should face the flag, stand at attention with their right hand over their heart. You know, like Melania had to remind Donald Trump to do. Okay, now here are some other rules. The flag is not supposed to be worn as an article of clothing. That means you're not supposed to be wearing that flag t-shirt or that flag hat or that flag bikini or that flag bandana, or as Kid Rock so beautifully did, cut a hole in the middle of a flag and wear it as a poncho. Also, the flag should not be carried flat or horizontally. Now, the code doesn't specify if it's appropriate for a flag 100 yards long to be held parallel to the ground and shaken by people over the field. Yeah, that's right. That's been done. So if you have all this respect for the flag, then respect the flag. Observe the rules of the flag. The rules were written down by the government. What happened to that? Aaron Rodgers, in a somewhat brilliant and funny Instagram post, showed pictures of the photographers on the ground, kneeling, looking up, taking pictures of him and his teammates. And he said, I can't imagine the kind of social media attacks these cameramen must be enduring after taking a knee during the anthem and wearing a hat. See, they're on a knee taking a picture. But that's okay. That's not disrespectful to the flag. It's only disrespectful to the flag if black players do it. Now, some people were very, it was very interesting how some people got upset. There's a whole group of people now who won't watch football. Damn it. We're not going to watch football. We're walking away. And I don't care, okay? But some of their things, basically they're saying that, okay, I'll give you an example. Some guy wrote, I want to thank you for freeing up my Sundays. And I'm not going to read his whole thing. I'm going to just read lines from it. I've been watching football through my 44 years of living, blah, blah, blah. That changed today. As I sat down to watch the Steelers-Bears game, I learned from the sideline reporter that the Steelers chose not to participate in the national anthem. I realize there's a lot of injustice in our country. I realize that a lot of people are upset at the current administration. I realize that we live in a free country where people have freedom not to participate in the national anthem. I also have freedom not to spend another minute or dollar on your product. Okay. That's fine. You got the right to do that. If you want to hold a rally at Heinz Field, that would be fine. If you want the players to march on Washington, D.C., fine. But not to participate in the national anthem and it's an insult to every serviceman, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not. It's not an insult to the servicemen, okay? And once again, you're telling the players how they're allowed to protest. Oh, you have freedom to protest, but you have to do it the way we said. Another guy, he's upset that politics and sports collide. This isn't about politics. Well, Trump, it's about politics. But to the players, it was about racism. And it was about how they were treated and how people who look like them were treated. And on and on. This is another guy took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. And you know, I hate politics. It's all over social media. I can't even go out anymore without people having heated political discussions. Football used to be an escape. Now politics has infiltrated something I used to love. Well, we'll see you later. And on and on and on. One guy goes back to Sonny Jurgensen. He watched Billy Kilmer and it was a great time to be a football fan. Now politics has reared its ugly head and the whole country has gone crazy. The country was fine when cops are killing black people with no penalty. Yeah, that's okay. But don't mess around at football. Maybe if a cop shot a black kid at a football game on Sunday, would that justify a protest? Perhaps. Maybe. You don't want to watch football? Shut up and don't watch football. I don't watch football. It's my choice. Okay? That's my choice. You have your choice. Shut up. Quit whining. Quit your bullshit. Dan Gilbert, I enjoyed this. Dan Gilbert is the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I don't know if you know it, but anyway, LeBron James called Donald Trump a bum because Donald Trump uninvited the Golden State Warriors from the White House, even though Steph Curry said he wasn't going. I talked about that last week. You're not coming to my party? Well, you're uninvited. So LeBron James called him a bum, and Dan Gilbert says he got vile, disgusting, racist voicemails, and he said that it's the most vile things I've ever heard people say. He said that there's an element of racism in this country that I didn't realize existed. Oh my gosh, Dan Gilbert is offended by the treatment of LeBron James. Hey, Dan. Let's go back a few years, okay? 2010, when LeBron left Cleveland for Miami. You weren't as outraged back then. Back then, you wrote a letter to the fans, and the letter said, "Our former hero, who grew up in the very region that he deserted this evening, is no longer a Cleveland Cavalier." This was announced with a several-day narcissistic self-promotional buildup, culminating with a national TV special of his decision. Okay, mind you, that was ESPN's idea, but not LeBron's. But here we go, here we go. Continuing the letter, the good news is the ownership team and the rest of the hardworking, loyal, and driven staff over here as your Cavaliers have not betrayed you, nor will never betray you. You simply don't deserve this kind of cowardly betrayal. Yeah, that's what he's calling. He's calling LeBron a coward. I want to make one statement to you tonight. I personally guarantee that the Cleveland Cavaliers will win an NBA championship before the self-titled former King wins one. Well, he actually won two down there in Miami before he came back and won one in Cleveland. But we'll continue because he's never heard this kind of insult, okay? It's going to keep going. This shocking act of disloyalty from our homegrown chosen one sends the exact opposite lesson of what we would want our children to learn. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Okay. So he didn't. Yeah. He's never heard such racist stuff. What is that? What is that if not saying that you call LeBron cowardly and disloyal and he's not what your children, you want your children to learn? Please, Dan, spare me the outrage, okay? Spare me the outrage. Now, moving on to the orange one. I'm going to mention Puerto Rico. He's completely forgotten it. But Donald Trump did something to help save Puerto Rico today. He took time out from his golf course in New Jersey to visit the President's Cup golf tournament. And when the United States won the President's Cup, he dedicated the cup to the fine people of Puerto Rico. Now, I don't know if the cup was filled with fresh water that they don't have, or perhaps the cup somehow generates electricity that they don't have. But he took time out from golf to dedicate a golf trophy to the people of Puerto Rico, which is great. He would have done it at his golf course in Puerto Rico, but it's probably underwater, and he never paid that $33 million debt in building the golf course. Just let that one go. Let Puerto Rico pay it. But he did take time, and that wasn't easy. That wasn't easy. He also found time over the weekend to insult the mayor of San Juan. Mayor Cruz of San Juan has been talking about they need help. They need help. They need help. There's hospitals with no power, there are people with no fresh water, et cetera, et cetera. We've all heard it. We all know the story. So Donald Trump responded. The mayor of San Juan, who was very complimentary only a few days ago, has now been told by the Democrats that you must be nasty to Trump. Such poor leadership ability by the mayor of San Juan and the others in Puerto Rico who are not able to get their workers to help. Really? Listen, Madam Mayor, just because your entire island's underwater and you have no electricity doesn't mean you can't rebuild the island. Why would you need help? What are you, Americans? What are you, American citizens? You expect the government to help you when a disaster wipes out your island? Now that's just poor leadership. How is a man going to take time from playing golf to help you? Now, aren't you? You should just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. They love bootstraps. All these old rich white guys are always talking about bootstraps. So you listen, Madam Mayor. You reach down under that water into that mud and find your bootstraps and pull them up and make this happen. What a fucking asshole. There's no limit to how horrible this guy can be. Unbelievable. But Michael Che, Mayor Cruz of San Juan did not have to respond to this because Michael Che from Saturday Night Live handled it beautifully. I am not going to do another comics material, okay? Out of respect for the art, I am not going to do Michael Che's material. I will tell you, go online and Google Michael Che and Puerto Rico, or Michael Che and Trump, or Michael Che and Hurricane, and listen to what he said, because it was hilarious. Yes, he did call Trump a bitch, and yes, he did call Trump a cracker, a cheap cracker. Kudos, Mr. Che. Beautifully. Well done. Well done. Well done, sir. I respect a man who kills it, and you killed it. Now, of course, once he did that, a lot of white people were offended. First of all, they had to find out that Puerto Ricans were Americans, and I think that somewhat offended them. But then they took it to a next left. Joe Walsh, the guy who does the, I think he did Catch a Predator or something. His child disappeared, and he had a TV series, blah, blah, blah. So he said, he was offended on Twitter, and he said, wow, so it's okay to call Trump a cracker. Did anyone ever call Barack Obama a nigger? I think it was he was happy he got to write nigger on Twitter. Yeah, Joe, I'm gonna go with yeah. I'm gonna go with in the 8 years of Barack Obama's administration, I'm pretty confident there were some white people that called him a nigger. Now, they weren't as brave as Michael Che. They didn't do it publicly, but I'm okay. I'm going out on a limb. Maybe this is fake news even. Maybe I'm stretching the truth, but I'm going to bet in the 8 years of Barack Obama's presidency, he had to have been niggered just at least once, I think. Okay, do yourself a favor. Google Che and listen to what Che said, because it was brilliant and hilarious, and I loved it. Enough of that. Send money to Puerto Rico. Do anything you can to help them. Help Mayor Cruz of Puerto Rico pull herself up by her bootstraps. She's got to do this herself. Somehow. Donald Trump's got golf to play. Jeez. In other news, just a couple of quick things that I loved. One, Stanford University has a vending machine stock with the morning after pill. I love it. I love that. You can get the morning after pill from a vending machine on a university campus. Now, I love it because it makes sense, okay, it's particularly because they said that the pharmacies and normal places you would get the pill are closed on weekends, and that's probably when you're going to need a morning after pill on weekends. That's because Stanford is one of those really smart Ivy League universities, so they only play on weekends. You better bet it like Arizona State or San Diego State. They're giving out morning after pills 7 days a week. Them schools know how to party. Stanford, limits to weekends. Got to get the pill on weekends. Need a machine. I think it's brilliant. And I think I'm, well, what else is going on? Basketball is back. NBA preseason is happening, which I'm happy about and loving. Baseball is going into the playoffs. Great baseball season. A lot of home runs, a lot of action. The Dodgers look great. The Yankees are back in the postseason. It's just going to be some good baseball coming up in the next month, and it looks like it's going to be nice and warm. It was 95 degrees last weekend when I was in Chicago. It was 90 degrees when I was in Dayton, Ohio. It's October. It cooled off a little, but it's going to get warm again. So this could be some good baseball and warm enough for everybody to play. And finally, the juice is loose. Last night, I'm recording this on Sunday. It's October 1st. About midnight, O.J. Simpson was released from jail in Las Vegas. They said a car came, picked him up, and they left. O.J., stay quiet. Go away. Just shut up. Just go away. Go wherever it is you go, Florida, wherever. Play golf. Live out the rest of your life. You're 70 years old, okay? You've had a great run. Been ups, been downs. You've had a life. The extremes that few will ever imagine or be able to match. But now you're out of jail. You've served your time. Go away. They're going to want to interview you. Say thanks, but no. You're going to want to go after fame, trophies, white women. No. Stop it, OJ. Go away. Disappear quietly. Become a footnote in history. Or do some stupid shit and go back to jail. Write another book. What the hell? How I did it and got caught and did it again. Whatever the hell you want to write, and go your ass back to jail. Those are your choices. Just fade away quietly or go your ass back to jail. I wish you luck, OJ. Stay out of jail. That's all I could say. Me, where am I going? I'm going to Canada for most of October. I'm going to Prince Edward Island, which I've been to in the Maritimes. It's beautiful. I'm doing a spot at the Laugh Factory Friday night on the 6th, which would be fun. And the following week, I start on the 12th. I start a tour of Canada with Sugar Sammy and Gina Brillion. Brilliant, hilarious comics. It's going to be fun. I'll talk more about that. But that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be in Canada looking for a place to live. I mean, doing comedy. I love you. Thanks for listening. Alonzo Bowden. Who's paying attention? You are.